Keep in touch with us on Facebook. Just like Talk 1260 KTRC.
Welcome to A Matter of the Mind. I'm your host, Mark Perry. And this morning, we're going to explore in the realm that's one of my favorites, in the realm of music and creative process, and what does music and mind and consciousness and spirit have to do with each other anyway? I'm still kind of fresh in the juice from last night. It'd been about, at least a month, maybe a little more since I'd been out performing, and I got back last night to playing with Chris Chickering and John Kurtzweig. I've been playing with them for several months now at the Hotel Chimayo, and we were back out Friday night. We'll be back again next Friday night, my shameless plug. So that's typically 8:30 to 10 on Fridays. And it was especially good last night. Chris had been in the studio writing some new material with a good friend of his who lives out in Nashville. Chris and Greg wrote some new songs, so we had some new material to go with what we've already been playing. And John Kurtzweig is such a consummate musician, and they're good friends. And it was just one of those good energy. The crowd was good. Everybody was nicely connected, and that always reminds me of what it is about music, and especially about that performing space that I really love, because there's this idea that I think a lot of people have that in performing is about something that some person or some band or group is doing for the audience. And anyone who performs on any regular basis knows that if that's the way it's working, you're probably not having the experience that you're really there for, that when performing is really working, it can become a very seamless, connected, even synchronous kind of experience, that the audience is very much participating in the experience. It's kind of like a feedback loop. And when you're tuned in as a performer, you're paying attention to, how is the audience responding? What are they feeding back? And when you can kind of catch that wave, so to speak, and respond with that and be in that, it's easy to lose the sense that there's, somebody giving something to anyone else, more like there's a giving and receiving. There's something very shared going on there. And it was a little like that last night. So I want to, among other things, and stay in the exploration of what is that about, and what is it about music in particular that invites that kind of interconnected experience. And to assist me and enjoy the sharing in it today, I have a wonderful, relatively new friend in my life and wonderful singer, songwriter, musician, Paul Dillon, who's be here with me. Good morning, Paul.
Welcome. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me today.
Sure thing. And I want to introduce you. I kind of wanted to introduce you first because I want to bring in a little bit. I really enjoyed when I asked you for some information about how to introduce you. What I got back looks a little bit more like a poem in some ways than it does typical introduction. So I'm just going to read you this. Paul Dillon, what he writes is, "My long and winding road. Born in Boston, grew up in New Hampshire, ski bum in Colorado, beach bum in California. Hiked 2,000-mile Appalachian Trail, land in Seattle, have a son named Ian. Stayed for 26 years, played the musician Carpenter card, write a ton of songs, form a band, play a ton of gigs, form another band, play more gigs, wash, rinse, repeat. Burn out. Learn to record at home. Write more songs. Marry Gail, the love of my life. Turn in Carpenter card. Keep all my fingers. Move to Santa Fe. Record 2 CDs and learn some valuable lessons. Become music director at Everyday Center for Spiritual Living. Record a 3rd CD, Brand New Day, Lessons Applied. Master Brand New Day with David Glasser and Airshow Mastering, and release Brand New Day to the world." And that kind of brings us up to date. And for any of you who want to hook into a website as we're in the conversation here and check out some of Paul's music and a little more information about him as we go along, you can find Paul at www.pauldillon, and that's two L's in Dillon, www.pauldillon.bandcamp.com. You can check that out. So, that's your synopsis.
Quite a story, huh?
Well, it sounds like a great story. I'd love to hear a little more, you know, a little more of the expanded details. You know, one of the things we share is that we've both lived in Seattle. I don't know if you knew that about me, but that was where
I did not.
Was where I last lived before I moved here. I was there for about 4 years. This is getting to be a bunch of years ago now. But a lot of my adult life I've lived in the Northwest, and Seattle was one of those places, which is a beautiful town full of very creative people as well.
I loved my time there. 26 years, like I said, I absolutely loved it. But at some point, it just became, I wanted a 180, whole new perspective, change of pace. To tell you the truth, it wasn't the rain. It was the traffic.
Yeah, yeah.
The traffic to go anywhere started to make me crazy. And boy, you know, the Southwest was beckoning. First, it was Taos. And I was drawn by the skiing. And I got to Taos and went, that's just a tad too small. I drove into Santa Fe and went, this will do. So come December, it'll be 5 years here in Santa Fe.
Nice. So what came first for you, the skiing that led to Ski Bum, or music and musicianship, or was those kind of parallel paths for you?
You know, the skiing actually came first. As far as musicians go, I think I started a little late. You know, I really didn't start till I was like 17. And most people, you know, they can really rip at 17.
Yeah.
But I was always writing. I was writing some real cheesy poetry when I was 14. And that was my edge was the lyric end. And I was a skier since I was 8. So yeah, ski bumming and steamboat, and really started to pick up the music when I got to Seattle. So it was not quite parallel, but not too far off.
So you came to Taos more for the skiing. What was it like shifting from, you know, we both know the, Seattle, Portland are two pretty great dynamic cities. Seattle maybe a little more cosmopolitan. Portland has for many years been kind of picked as one of the best planned and most livable cities.
Yeah.
But both on the larger side, Seattle in particular has gotten to be a very large city. And I recall, there's air quality issues, there's traffic, there's, you know, how do we get just from one simple place to another, and lots of people, and, you know, a coffee stand on every corner.
Yeah.
Because how else are you going to deal with not seeing the sun, you know, so much of the year? But also a very creative and dynamic, lots of subpopulations that fit in with creativity. You know, a lot of people think of it in terms of the grunge music scene because it came out of there, but in terms of music and performing arts and visual arts, so forth, Seattle's really very broad and rich in that area.
Yeah.
Was it hard to leave there, or was it just like, no, I'm done?
I was done. Well, I was a Finnish carpenter, and, you know, as jobs go, it's not that bad, but as a musician, it's quite dangerous with the fingers.
Sure.
And I had an opportunity to not do it anymore, and that was huge to me. So I was done.
So what was the opportunity about?
My wife wanting to go on and become a minister and move here. And, you know, with her retirement, we're able to do that. So
you can literally say spirit moved you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
In a very practical, everyday kind of way. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we're coming up. You're listening to A Matter of the Mind. We're broadcasting locally on Talk 1260 KTRC, which is AM 1260, and we're also streaming live on santafe.com. We are back on A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry. I'm here with Paul Dillon, who's singer, songwriter, performer. He's also the music director at the Everyday Center for Spiritual Living here in Santa Fe. And he has a relatively new CD out called Brand New Day. You can find more about Paul and about his music at pauldillon.bandcamp.com. So you came to the Southwest and to Taos in particular from Seattle. Sounds like significantly because of where your wife Gail was moving to in her path.
Well, a little bit, Mark. It was really all me that wanted to come here.
Ah.
And Gail didn't really have Santa Fe on her radar. She thought the Southwest was Phoenix.
Ah. Okay.
And so we did a big road trip. Seattle, Taos, Santa Fe, Sedona, Grand Canyon, Vegas, San Francisco, back home to Seattle. We got married on the way in Santa Fe.
Oh, how about that?
And so she said, well, if you want to move here, we should probably go take a trip and have a look at it. So we did, and that's when we got to Taos. And we went, oh, maybe not. We got to Santa Fe. We said yes. And then we had a plan to come 3 years later to move here. And then things shifted with work, and we fast-tracked it. So that's how we landed here.
And how's that transition been?
It's been fantastic. We both love it here. And it just, for me, it was, you know, Ski Magazine, all being a kid and growing up, the architecture here in Taos and the adobe just was really attractive to me. And I love the weather here, and it's been great.
Now you've commented in your bio material that Brand New Day was, among other things, an example for you of lessons learned, lessons applied, is what you put down. Tell me a little more about what you mean by that.
Well, actually, the lessons applied literally means that I learned a lot making my first two albums, technically.
Mm-hmm.
As a recording, you know, I have my own studio, and as a person learning how to record, it's a big curve. It's a huge curve. And I'm in my room all by myself trying to figure it out. And you do what you can do.
Yeah.
And at some point after the second album, I just made a big leap. I just got it a lot more. And I've been playing a lot more. So as a musician, I got better. As a performer, I got better. As an arranger and engineer, it just all reached a whole new level. And so I applied those lessons to the making of Brand New Day. And this, actually, Brand New Day is the first album that I ever took as far as getting mastered as well. I didn't master the first two. And now I look back on those and kind of want to re-record them.
Well, since we're talking about that, how about if we give everybody a sample here? I think you brought us a CD that we can play something off of. So what do you got for us?
This is the title track. It's Brand New Day.
Okay.
Brand new day, open my eyes.
Okay. So that's the title track to Brand New Day. And if you just tuned in and you were wondering, wow, did I find the right show? I thought this was supposed to be A Matter of the Mind. Yes, you are in the right place. I'm here with Paul Dillon, and that's his new CD. And so tell me, what were you singing about in that song?
I'll tell you. This is a very specific song for me that was really different for me, because 9.9 times out of 10, when I'm singing, it's me singing. I'm talking to you. This was interesting. Gail asked me, she said, would you like to perform at my graduation from ministerial school? I said, yes, right away. I had no idea what I was going to play or anything, and it was several months away, so I had plenty of time to figure it out. And I started messing around with no intention of writing anything for her, and this song started to come. And about a quarter of the way through it, I realized this isn't me talking. This is Gail talking.
Mm.
This is Gail talking to Spirit and her peers. First time that's ever happened to me. And so it's really her speaking to people instead of me speaking to people. It's never happened, and I don't know if it ever will again, but it worked out well.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a sense when you talked about that, the lessons applied, talking about, you know, this album and perhaps this song in particular, that you were talking about more than just a greater familiarity and skill with the technical aspects of recording. There was maybe something more or different that you were connecting or expressing from, both in what you've recorded here and perhaps in your performances as well?
Well, absolutely. Right. I mean, this was a time for me where I got to fully step into who I was as a musician, instead of, you know, splitting time with being a carpenter. And so I was owning it fully for the first time, and that's a big difference.
So how then has that rubbed off or expanded into other areas of your life?
Well, the performance end, it's hugely different, because when you can step on stage and really own it, it's a whole different level of being. And I was partition my life, carpenter here, musician there, you know. And I know that's not necessarily the best thing to do, and a lot of people don't do that, but I kind of slipped into that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And for me not to have to do that and wake up in the morning feeling like this is what I do now, it was big for me.
Mm.
Really big for me.
Yeah, and I find that this seems to be a common thread in any kind of, whether it's more of somebody describing something, it's a hobby for them, or something they choose as more of a focus of their life or professional path, that describe that more full connection into creative process, whether it be more visual art or performing art or so forth, that there becomes this very common languaging that over the years, both with clients I've worked with and others I've played around with, sounds like more of an existential conversation than it sounds like a conversation about the details of the art form. It becomes very much this conversation about beingness.
Yeah.
But that is also something that is talked about as something to connect into or to open to, or kind of like something that comes through me or that I access, allow to happen. But there's very little conversation about what it is that I'm on purpose doing or trying to
right.
do.
Yep. Yeah. I loved what Keith Richards said one time. He said he just gets in the way of the song.
Yeah.
You know, they're already out there done. He just gets in the way of it. Does a pretty good job.
So when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about, I want to talk more about the creative process and what that has to do with Spirit as well. If you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number here at KTRC is 505-474-8255. You're listening to A Matter of the Mind, streaming on SantaFe.com.
Talk 1260 KTRC.
We are back on A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry. I'm here with Paul Dillon, who's a singer and songwriter and recording, how should we say, a recording artist.
I am a recording artist out of necessity.
And you are the music director at the Everyday Center for Spiritual Living, where your wife, Gail, is the minister. Is that the appropriate title
for her? She is the founding minister and spiritual leader.
And I guess you'd describe the Everyday Center for Spiritual Living as coming from the tradition of Science of Mind. Is that
exactly
the appropriate description?
Yep.
So what's that area of music and in the larger context, how does that fit for you? What is spirit and shall we say celebration and exploration of spirit, but being the music director in that context, what's that like for you?
Well, it's interesting. We went for a long walk and had a talk about this.
Yeah.
When Gail first started ministry, she wasn't so sure that she was going to do a pulpit ministry, which means getting up on stage and talking to people. She was, there's other ways to do ministry. And then she got the bug to do that. And she talked to me about it. And for me to proceed with my career and move it forward, I wanted to tour. And she says, well, I'm not going to have a church if you're going to tour. I'm going with you. I said, well, I don't want to stomp on your dreams and you want to do the church. And she said, why don't you become the music director? Instead of going to everybody, the people will come to you. And so I thought, well, that could work. I'd never been a music director in my life. I have been, you know, in bands, and I've had to arrange things, kind of know what I'm doing in that area. But being a music director and I've been studying sort of spirit for years, read everything, and it leaks out into my music, so it wasn't a huge stretch. Gail was really nice about saying, you know, you don't have to be in any sort of box. You just do what you want, which was the answer that I wanted to hear.
nice guidance for all of
nice,
us.
Yeah. Yes. And so I had a few, so I'd been a guest musician at a few churches before, and I had a few songs that worked in those situations, and our center is way out of the box, so more of my songs fit. So I just began with baby steps, and we have a blast. I've got 5 singers and a keyboard player and a drummer, and I perform almost every Sunday. We're a guest musician once a month, and we do a lot of my songs. We do a lot of fun covers. We opened service for a month with Allman Brothers.
Nice.
So we have a really good time.
Sweet. And is it the same or similar performing and also being a little bit of the director in the process in that environment versus performing in other arenas? Is it different? Is it the same?
It feels different to me. I do songs that I don't do at the church on my other performances.
Mm-hmm.
As free as I am at the church, it's still a church. And so I feel a little bit looser outside the church performing.
And I would imagine that when you're at the church, you know, you have the so-called congregation, it's probably not exactly the same people every time, but probably a lot of the same core people,
yep.
A lot of, the, you know, so it's a very familiar environment. So how much of it is like performing there and how much of it is like something that's really being created all together at the same time?
Well, we do a couple of different things. There's actually a performance spot for me or the guest musician each Sunday. The rest of it is much more everybody's involved. We have congregational songs where they have their book and they're welcome to sing along. We have the opening song of the month, which is the same for an entire month, and they get to know it really well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much everybody singing along and having fun with that. And then there's the singular performance spot, which is more of a performance than it is the whole full shared experience.
Mm-hmm. So how does that experience, you know, when you talked about that part of what was lessons applied to you about the new CD was that there was this shift in where you were expressing music from, where you were writing from, that connecting with something else that was coming through you rather than something that was just personal to you. How does that fit in that context? Is there something more or different that happens in that environment than performing in other areas, or is it a lot the same?
It's a lot the same. It really isn't that much different. You know, the only thing might be, you know, the content of a song. But other than that, it's really the same. When I get up there, I bring it. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. There's really no other way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you just kind of get into that zone and let it rip no matter who's in front of you.
Yeah. And so to me, that speaks to, you know, what really is ministering spirit. You know, there's a more traditional role that we think of as a minister who's the, among other things, being a bit of an authority figure, being the one in charge or the leader or the upfront person about guiding that process. But what is spirit anyway? You know, what's the difference between what we talk about in terms of spirit in a church or religious or honoring or celebrating kind of environment versus just connecting into that creative juice, something that is partly personal to you in terms that you write your own songs and there's something that comes through that's unique to you, but something that's shared out in the world that's a very universal kind of experience.
I don't think there's any difference, Mark. It's just, to me, it's all the same. It's just, we all get to tap into it. We all get to bring it forth however we choose. And at the center, you know, our slogan, if you will, I don't know if that's the right word to call it or not, but it's empowering people to live joy-filled lives.
Mm.
And that's all we do. I do it with the music. Gail does it with her talks. We just empower you to have some tools to make some choices that work for you, however that looks to you.
Okay. Well, I want to play a little bit. So
we can do that.
So I know you got your guitar handy here. I brought my cajon in and thought we might play a little, do something a little live that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So what do you got for us?
I'm going to do a song with you for the very first time. This is fun. It's off my second album. It's called Sitting on the Fence. And it's got a great groove, which I think the cajon will really serve well. And, you know, we've all been there where we just are paralyzed with fear to move in any one direction. And I think this song encourages you to just consider moving somehow, somewhere. And you can always correct your course. But the movement's the important part.
You got to move.
Got to move. This is Sitting on a Fence.
Okay.
Where do you stand? Where do you fall? Where does the line get drawn? What keeps you going and what makes you stall? What makes your heart beat at all? Well, the answers are changing as time goes by. And oh, that's all right. But something, it dies from deep inside. Questions lie unsatisfied. Sitting on the fence, back and forth and back and forth and back again. Sitting on the fence, sometimes it feels it'll never end. On the fence. What makes you laugh? What makes you cry? What makes you wonder why? What makes a difference and what stays the same? What makes it worth the pain? Well, the answers are changing as time goes by. And oh, that's all right. But something it cries from deep inside when questions lie unsatisfied. Sitting on the fence, You're back and forth and back and forth and back again. Sitting on the fence. Sometimes it feels it'll never end. On the fence. Nah, nah, nah. You can't lay your head down and fall asleep. Lay your dreams down at your feet. You can pray every day for the right words to speak. But sitting on the fence, you're right back there again and again. Sitting on the fence, back and forth and back and forth and back again. Sitting on the fence. There's no one around to lend a hand. On the fence. Sitting on the fence, yeah. Sitting on the fence. Sitting on the fence. Turn it over twice, you're back where you started, yeah. On the fence. Hey!
Okay. So, when we come back, we're going to get a little more information about Paul Dillon and see where this goes next. You're listening to A Matter of the Mind, and we are streaming on SantaFe.com. We are back on A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry. I'm here with Paul Dillon, singer-songwriter, recording artist, and music director at the Everyday Center for Spiritual Living. And we were just discussing how that was perhaps a very representative experience of the content of that song, as we were kind of doing that on the fly here by the seat of our pants with microphones that, you know, we hadn't really had set up quite right. And, you know, all the technical details weren't in place. And, you know, when you're performing, you love to have all the technical details in place.
Don't we all?
So
yeah. Sometimes you just got to let it rip.
Yeah. So hopefully that came across to all of you in the way that that we were hearing it here.
We had fun.
And that's, you know, there is a point of view that just says, you know, that's a center of, let me say, a center of knowing if you're on track spiritually. You said, what did you say is kind of the motto, the slogan of the Everyday Center for Spiritual Living?
Empowering people to live joy-filled lives.
Right. So joy-filled lives.
Yeah.
You know,
why not? I think people underestimate that.
You know, if that's not your experience of life, imagine what that would be like.
Yeah.
To really live a joy-filled life.
Yeah. You know, there's always going to be little pitfalls, but it's, you know, the trick is not to build a house there and just, you know, feel it, move on.
Yeah. And I suspect you might say a similar thing, but music for me is one of those places that is always that kind of experience and opportunity. I mean, not that there aren't moments when we're, you know, in a better place than others when it's time to get together, but getting together with people playing music, whether it's a performing situation or just for fun amongst ourselves, it's really hard to avoid being in a joyful place for me when I'm doing
absolutely
that.
Yeah,
it's both an expressive output, but also it can be a healing kind of place. It can be a place of shift or transformation or reminder in that area for me. And I find that particularly has been true in recent times.
Well, yeah, if you're not having fun doing that, you're probably trying a little bit too hard.
Yeah.
Which
can definitely happen.
Yeah.
So where along the line do you feel like you really got that lesson? Not just in a conceptual way, but in more like you described, more of that, oh, I get it kind of a way.
You know, really, it's I've been playing for 35 years, and it's only been in the last five that I've really got it.
Oh, interesting.
And that I've become I've given myself full permission to do this, regardless of where the chips may fall. And it might sound easy to say, but it's hard to come to that and really believe it. You want to be liked. Who wouldn't?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're a little timid on some level. And when you can lose that, it's a whole new world. It's liberating to go up there. You're still trying to do your best, always. You're always trying to improve, but it's always okay because this is yours to do. And I stepped into that since I've been here, and it's been amazing.
So I hear you talking then a little more about personal path, or kind of that sense of, you know, what am I here for, living on purpose, doing something that really resonates with that.
This is right. For me, this is what I'm here to do. Nothing else really interests me.
So would you say that sense of personal path and really stepping into that fully came more from a sense of that I got it, that realization, or did it happen the other way around? Or I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, but how did that really fit for you?
Ask me in another way. I'm not sure I understand exactly what you're getting at.
You've described this experience that now, you know, that it's only been in the last 5 years out of 35 years that you really have been having the experience of allowing yourself to just, as you say, let the chips fall where they may. I'm going to step into this fully and just do it fully, and kind of, in other words, get over the whole idea of I'm going to try to impress somebody, or I'm going to try to do something that somebody would really like.
Right.
And that part of it came through that experience of allowing another, should we say, another voice or another creative energy or intelligence to come through you or speak through you in a way. Would that be accurate way to say it?
I think so. You know, I guess, you know, my higher self finally smacked me upside the head enough times. I said, just get over it. Stop worrying so much.
And you seem to have a conscious sense that that's how it is for you now, that there's a greater sense of, I'm on purpose, and it's something much easier and more joyful. And even if I'm, you know, not fitting some idea of perfect in my performance, who cares? I'm in more of a joy-filled place. And that invites other people to be in that place as well
when you're
in that energy, right? So I'm just kind of wondering, and it doesn't really matter if this is really clear. I'm just curious because this is part of what I do. If that sense or that experience of stepping into on purpose and letting the chips fall where it may and really being fully in that, if that followed that more of that time or moment of shift, did it all come at the same time? Was there some kind of a process you would describe that came from?
Well, for me, Mark, I think symbolically, me not having to be a carpenter anymore was like a turning point. It didn't happen overnight, but that was very symbolic for me.
Hmm.
And I know that people can feel this way still having two or three jobs. You know, you don't have to do this full on all the time to feel what I'm feeling. I'm not saying that. It just works better for me that way.
So there was really something significant in your life you were letting go of.
Yes.
That led to this kind of shift. Great. That's great, because that's a very common report that I hear again from clients and other people. So if people want to get in contact with you or find out more about your music or buy some of your music or so forth, what's the best way for them to do that?
The best way is Bandcamp, www.pauldillon.com. And the whole
.bandcamp.com. Is that right?
That's right. You're right. .bandcamp.com.
So let's do that one more time.
Pauldillon.bandcamp.com.
Okay.
The entire album is up there. You can listen to it all for free. You can download individual songs. You can download the entire album. You can get the physical album from there. There's a link to Facebook with a bunch of photos, and there's a video on there. And if you want to contact me through there, you can do that too.
Okay. And the Everyday Center for Spiritual Living, when are things happening there?
Oh, boy. Sundays, 10 a.m. There's a meditation that starts at 9:30. The service starts at 10. This Sunday, we have a special guest musician from Albuquerque, Kathleen Sabo. Looking forward to having her. We have a lot of fun. You can feel the buzz when you walk in the room. And this month's opening song is Get Together, the Youngbloods. Come on, people.
Oh,
now.
Nice, nice. That's one of my favorites.
We have
all time favorites. Yeah. All right. So I really invite you this week. If you could imagine, sense, and feel yourself allowing whatever would be that voice or that creative spirit or that sense of living your life on purpose, living in a way that's really joy-filled, letting that come through you, what would that be like? Let that be your exploration this week, because what if that's simply a matter of the mind? Blessings.